Okay, so I think we'll get started just right on time. First, I want to thank everyone for being here at TechEd. I know this is precious time. You know, it's a week of time. Even if it's in New Orleans, it's a lot of time to be spending with us. We certainly appreciate the effort, and it's great to be here. So my name's Faisal Mahmood. I'm a program manager on the Data Explorer team. We have quite a few of us. There's a bunch of folks sitting back there in blue shirts, hecklers, I think. So just watch out for them. Give them a tough time because I think they're going to try and give me a tough time. The thing about Data Explorer, first, quick question. How many of you have actually used Data Explorer? So it's, just single digits even. Okay, this should be good. The goal here is to give you an overview, right? One of the things I've been hearing, I haven't been able to get into many of the sessions, but what I've been hearing is it's showing up everywhere. And I think there's good reason for it, and I'll get into some of that. But what we're going to be doing here, I have some slides, customary, of course, but the goal is to really spend a lot of time with the product, spend time in some real-world scenarios and take real-world data sets and do some cool things, on demand. So if you think of what we're trying to do with Data Explorer, right, just to put it in perspective, it's really to simplify and make it brain-dead simple for anyone who is using Excel to discover, refine, reshape, transform, and consume data. And that's the overarching mission of, the team, the product, what we are trying to do. Now, one of the things that's interesting about what we've done with BI, Microsoft BI, over the past few years, it's quite interesting. So, a few years ago, we started with Power Pivot. How many of you use Power Pivot? Yeah, okay, that's good. So, it was quite transformational when we did Power Pivot because we brought in-memory BI to the desktop and allowed you to do some pretty crazy things, on the user's machine. Memory is cheap, abundant, and so you can do that. And then now with Excel 2013, you've got the same engine in Excel, and you have Power View, right? So great visualizations that you can do. But one of the things about all of the demos that we do with BI, we never show you how the data is prepped, right? It's always beautiful. It's in the workbook, and, we don't talk about how we did it, right? And there's always the story of how long it actually took to get it in that shape. Well, that's what Data Explorer is trying to solve, right? And so, all of the demos we do with Data Explorer, we start with a blank workbook, right? That's what we do. And so that's kind of what we'll be looking at. So quickly switch to the next slide here. Just to set some context, I thought we'd look at, what's happening with the industry and, sort of trends in general. Just this anecdote from Gartner, which really says, kind of puts it in perspective. It's basically saying that there's tremendous amount of competitive advantage to be had by being able to leverage all of the data that's becoming available. First of all, the private data that you have is just exploding. And on top of that, the public data sets that are out there is just growing really fast. And so the techniques and the technologies that we have today just don't work. We use this slide a bit with big data, but I think it's applicable generally, right? So with big data, you generally talk about data explosion and the volume problem of data, but, even setting big data aside, we have, some serious issues that overlap. So the amount of data that's becoming available, so not the volume part, but the amount of the types of data, the variety of data that's becoming available, it's just growing really fast. And the stat here is 85% of new data that's being generated are actually coming in new formats. So you have sensor data that's coming to you, machine-generated data that's, being logged. And so, how do you leverage all of this info, right? Now, the other thing that's happening is this trend of consumerization of IT. And so there's generally a pretty strong demand and a requirement on behalf of the users, right? Because they have all these great experiences at home, and they want, they expect no less when they do their day-to-day jobs. And so that's another challenge. So there's this question that keeps coming up, right? Again, do you have a big data problem? How many of you believe you have big data problems? Few. How about data problem? See, I mean, so that's kind of why I thought, we'd do that little exercise, because way more of you actually said, yeah, we have data problems. And really, you know, I think you can sum it up in these three bullets. So the amount of data, the types of data that's becoming available, it's just exploding. We already talked about that. New data types and formats. I think, you know, want to stress this enough. This, I think, is largely led by the big data movement, but, you know, so you see formats like Avro and Protobuf and a bunch of others being made available, and I think it's kind of just almost like it's fashionable to have your own format these days, right? But even setting that aside, think about a CSV. How many of you would say using all of the CSVs that you have are easy? Not too many, right? So there's still some fundamental problems with the existing formats that we have. Again, the user expectations. So one more thing about user expectations really is there is this large dependence on IT now, right? There's just this notion of if I need data integration, I can do it myself. Even though we have self-service BI, users generally need to go to IT. And there's, you know, this lack of satisfaction because, well, IT spends way too much time trying to do one-off things for their users, and the users spend time waiting for turnaround, right? And so it's something that we need to solve. So I thought we'd just take a quick tour through what one might call the current state of the art, right? This is just a look at the kinds of technologies that we have today, right? This is what you use. This is what you deal, you basically have to use as your experiences for getting data day to day. So we have the data tab, right? How many of you go to the data tab regularly in Excel, right? So you use pretty heavily. The data tab has served us well. It's been in Excel for a long time, and it's been evolved to meet the needs that have, you know, been changing over time. So looking at some of the experiences with the data tab, that's from Access, right? So I have a table picker. I can go and pick tables and bring that in. From web, this is interesting, right? Web query, it's been in for a long time. I think many of you would say that that there's room for improvement here, right? And again, this has been in for a long time and hasn't actually kept up with the times. Text is kind of interesting. This is one that I think is actually quite powerful in the set of dials and knobs that you get. So you can actually go and specify whether it's delimited or it's fixed width, and then you have the option to remove some rows from the top. But if you actually have some noise in between, all bits are off, right? And then you have the option to basically say, yep, pick your delimiter. And it gives you a preview, does an attempt at a pretty decent preview, but it's, leaves room for improvement. You get to actually specify what types the columns are, right? And then some advanced options, some of which even I don't understand. So there is use for some of these. There's a reason why it's there, right? But it's not, I think it's not kept up with the times. So the SQL experiences are slightly better. We'll quickly go through this. You can actually specify the auth that you want to use. Go pick tables. You get to choose multiple tables. And you get to save your connection. Now, one data tab wasn't enough, right? So we create another one in Power Pivot. And there's a reason for it. With Power Pivot, one of the things we wanted to do was allow you to actually preview and filter while you're getting data, right? So you start to see the notion of query coming in, and so you can do that, and that's why there's this experience for getting into data into Power Pivot. But when we did Power Pivot, data acquisition was never a primary focus, right? That's kind of what Data Explorer is trying to do. And then, of course, a wealth of data sources, but yet again, the point is we have a second way of getting data into Excel, right? And so with Excel, text file, and so on. And finally, How many of you know what this is? Well, the title bar gives it away, but does anyone use this? Sadly, yes, right? And you know, again, it's been in Excel for a long time. Lots of our users still use it because it serves a certain need. So the point I'm trying to make here, right, is we have created, over time, because of the evolution of some of these features, a massive amount of fragmentation in the experience. You don't have one experience that covers all of it. You don't have one set of capabilities that cover all of it, right? And so what we're trying to do with Data Explorer really is bring all of that together, right, and modernize the experience. So you have one experience to get text files, to get data from SQL, or to get data from Hadoop, right? Small or large, it's one experience. Better even is the same set of capabilities across all of it, right? So you get to filter, you get to group by, you get to do all of that on text, as well as on something like SQL or something like OData, and we're doing more in the way of big data to give you the same over Hadoop. So one of the things I want to mention is feel free to actually raise your hand, ask questions. You have microphones in the middle, and I think you know you'll certainly have some when we go into the demos. So what are we trying to do with Data Explorer? So we're trying to basically give you self-service data discovery, query, transformation, and mashup. And the focus is on the end user, right? It's not on the sophisticated user. It's not, you know, for the advanced guy. It is for the end user. Certainly, we'll have a ramp up, you know, a certain set of capabilities that'll appeal to the more advanced folks. But the goal is to give something to everyone. Discovery is interesting because for the longest time, actually, for, you know, never have we had the notion of searching for data in Excel. So we're bringing that into Excel. You'll see some of that. The other thing is a highly interactive experience. So the things that we looked at with the data tab, you actually don't see any data till you decide to land the data, right? In Power Pivot, you do for filters, but you don't really get to experience the data before you get it into Excel. So that's another thing that we are trying to do. Consistency of experience is important. So whenever the backends can support rich operations, you know, so filtering or group by or sorting, we'll push that work down to the backend. But if the backend can't handle it, we'll actually compensate and do it, and do it in a pretty nice streaming fashion so you never have to worry about running out of memory and things like that. So you get one set of experiences for everything. And finally, we let you join data from different sources. So you can take data that's coming from a text file, data that's coming from say, SQL or OData, and join that, right? And again, done in a way that's accessible to end users. So that sums up what we're trying to do with Data Explorer and why we came up with the whole product. So the rest of this is just going to be us looking at Data Explorer. We'll do quite a bit of demos. We're going to first look at a pretty simple arc of, you know, just using Excel, discovering some data, landing it, minimal shaping, and then and sort of visualizing that. The next thing we'll do is look at a bunch of data wrangling scenarios, so examples where data is not quite in the shape you want, and how you can easily reshape that to fit your needs. And finally, we're going to just take some of those things you learned in many of those data wrangling scenarios and put it all together in a pretty interesting data set. So that is what we're going to do. Let's switch. Yep. So the question is this a standard part of Excel, or is it a separate product? Today, Data Explorer basically follows the same path as Power Pivot did. So it's an add-in today because we want to get the product out in the hands of users, out to you, as soon as possible. And the goal is to basically, you know, join in with the Excel train whenever the next release ships. So that's kind of how we're thinking about delivery. So it's in preview today. You can download it. You can use it. Currently, it's in preview, and it's a free add-in. You can download it. The final details on how it's going to be is not quite decided. So that's, you know, that's still because we're in preview. The question is it an add-in for 2010, 2013, or does it work on 2010? It works on 2010 and 2013. Yep. Got a thumbs up for that? All right, so let's do demos. We are in Excel, and I just have the preview build installed, and I'm just, all I'm doing is really showing you here the online search function. So notice that one of the things we've done is tried to preserve the familiarity that you have with the data tab. The key differences are you have the online search functionality and then a set of operations like merge and append, which we'll get into. So search is actually pretty cool. Because we're in the Big Easy, let's look for New Orleans and see what data sets we can find, right? So pretty quick, we got a set of results back. And what I can do is now hover over these and actually get data that's relevant to the search that I'm running, right? Pretty neat, getting some demographics on New Orleans, climate, top employers. And actually, in one click, I can land that data down into my sheet. So starting with no data to having some useful data that's coming from a set of data sets that's curated and basically made available to you by us. So that's pretty cool. So the questions at this point are usually, hey, what's in the set of data that you have out there and what's coming? So today, as a starter, what we've done is we've went and pulled all of the factual data that we have in Wikipedia, right? It's a good set of factual data out there. We've brought that in, and we're going and bringing in a few more, quite a few more data sets that are out there in the public domain. And in addition, what we're also doing is building out the ecosystem with premium data vendors as well. So you'll have free data as well as premium data coming in primarily through the Azure data marketplace. And so you'll have providers like Dun & Bradstreet, for example, or Melissa Data and so on. All of those will actually start to show up at some point. So let's actually do something with a data set that we find. So what I'm going to do is look for largest cities in Americas, right? We're just going to try and find a set of cities that are in the North America, South America, and see what we can find. So I get back a set of results. I can hover over them. The first one actually looks pretty cool, so I'm going to get that. That's kind of looks like the data set that I want. And now let's say I'm not actually happy with the shape of this, right? There's some things that I need to tweak. And what we let you do is go into this filter and shape experience. And now I can actually transform this data set. One of the things we let you do is basically get into this menu of transforms. This is where you show or hide columns, use the first row as a header if you need to, remove duplicates, replace values, split. So a common set of transforms that we've surfaced in the UI. So I'm going to remove that, and I'm going to remove that. Now, what if I want to actually have a column that's the merge of city and country? Because I know that from a visualization standpoint, it's better if I have it that way. So I'm going to basically duplicate country. So let's do that. And then I'm going to pick city, country, and say merge. And I'm going to do a comma space. And then we're going to rename this to city. We're going to move this up ahead. And that looks much better. One of the things that you might have noticed is in the right here, we have the steps pane, and that's kind of getting populated with a series of steps. And what I can do is I can actually go back and look at how I change my data over time, right, through a series of transformations. And what's happening is we're just building up a query. So this is an expression that we're building that's really what's behind the data shaping that you're getting. So this allows us to effectively rerun this query whenever we want to refresh the data and pull the latest data into Excel. So now actually I'm done with my transform, so I reshape, and there's my data set. It's loading, and now it's done, right? So we have a pretty good data set that we can go and visualize. So let's go ahead and do a power view. and take a look. Any guesses? What's the largest in terms of population in the Americas? Let's see. Shout it out if you know. Close. So we're going to do city, and let's do population, and we are going to do a map. Did anyone say Sao Paulo? There. Right? So Mexico City is still pretty big, but Sao Paulo's got it beat in terms of the number of people. That's actually pretty, I think, pretty cool to be able to go from no data to have some data that we reshaped very quickly and, you know, into a visual. So, that's great. We actually went and pulled some data that I had in the search index. What if there's some data out there that you want to consume? So let's look at that. So I have a set of pages here that we're going to go through one by one. So here we have data.gov, and this is an interesting data set that's out in the public domain. It's the set of significant worldwide M1 earthquakes that have been recorded over the past 7 days. It's pretty up to date. So all I'm going to do here is copy the link to a CSV. We're going to go back in here and say, actually, let me open from the web. We're going to paste in the URL, and now we're going to just wait for the data to come down. Now, in this case, the page that's coming back or the data that's coming back doesn't have the right content type, and so Data Explorer doesn't really know it's a... So in most cases, this would actually parse out into a table. That's okay. What we can do is basically turn this one single column table and split it by delimiter, and we're going to split that by comma. So we have a table. Right? Now, the first row here is actually a header. So what we are going to do is say use first row as headers, so we have better metadata. That time column is actually challenging to deal with because it's got the weekday in there. It's got a UTC at the end of it. So it's formatted in a funky way. And we want to clean that up so that we can actually turn it into a real date time and use it for time series. So we're going to basically split by delimiter, and we're going to do by space at the leftmost. So we want to just do one split, right? So, take out the first one, leave the rest. We're going to do the same here. So we're going to split by delimiter, and we're going to do with a space at the rightmost. So that's better. We're going to take these two fragments and hide them, remove them, and then we're going to change this to date time. Okay, better. And then let's call that date time. Fine, and I have everything I need, so we're going to say done. And there's my reshaped data, right? Again, I would urge you to think about how you might accomplish that today. That wasn't so bad. But now we can go ahead and do a map. So this time let's use GeoFlow and try and visualize this. So what we are going to do is basically say we want to pick lat and long. Those are the locations. And so we start to see some data pop up, data points. And, folks in Seattle always hate me for showing this demo because, it's certainly scary. But, most of those are tiny tremors that get recorded. Now let's add magnitude on here. And that starts to look... look interesting. One of the things we're going to do here is I'm actually wondering why it's not showing properly. Okay, magnitude and what's that? Yeah, I think that's what's happening. I didn't get the right type through. So let's go ahead and do this again. I'm going to filter and shape, and we're going to change type and turn that into number. So that's what's happening is the type information isn't actually flowing through. Great. So we did that, and I'm going to push that to load it to the data model, and now we are going to insert a map. Let's create a new tour, and we're going to go and pick lat, long, map that, and then we're going to say magnitude. That's better. And I'm going to basically ask GeoFlow to not aggregate it. And finally, we're going to drag the date time. Let me scroll this down here. Date time as my time axis, right? So we have that, and now we can play this over time. And you can see that animated. So I think pretty compelling to see data that you're pulling from the public domain reshape that. It's, you know, as it is, isn't readily consumable, right? And so reshape that, get it down into Data Explorer, Excel, and then map it very quickly. So this is kind of interesting. That was the big one in Taiwan just a little while ago. All right, so the next one that I want to walk through is we looked at a bunch of text-related data sets. What about structured data, right? And, you know, and what's the experience like for connecting to structured data, and how are we making things better there? So we are going to go to an OData feed. This morning I was looking for interesting OData feeds and bumped into actually the one that's out there for TechEd session information. So we're going to basically grab that and go into Data Explorer and say from OData. Actually, before that, let's cover all of the data sources that are supported. So we obviously saw from web. Web means any web endpoint. So it could be a web page, it could be web API, or it could be the kinds of endpoints we just looked at, CSV sitting out over an endpoint. Then we have a set of file-based web source, file-based sources. So you have Excel, CSV, XML, text, raw text that doesn't fit into one of the standard text types. And then from folder, which is one of my favorite. It's actually pretty interesting. Say you have a hierarchy of log files sitting on a drive somewhere, and you want to basically take all of that and treat that as one logical table, right? You get to do that. So the other types, of course, are SQL Server, SQL Azure, Access, you know, a slew of the standard relational databases that are out there, and then a set of non-traditional sources. And this list is going to grow over time, right? We're investing quite heavily in the next wave of data sources that we're trying to bring out there. So SharePoint lists, OData feed, Azure Marketplace, two flavors of Hadoop, Hadoop on-prem. So any standard distribution of Hadoop. Also Microsoft's Hadoop as a service, HD Insight, Active Directory, and then, of course, the most important enterprise data source, Facebook. Right? It's quite interesting. We just did that, you know, as a way of exposing your social graph to you so you can connect and do BI over your social graph. And we actually get a lot of views on this one because everyone can use it. So let's look at OData. What we're going to do is say from OData feed and paste in that that URL we saw for the TechEd sessions data set. This one's been a little slow today, so let's see if this is going to work. If not, we'll have to switch to another OData feed. That seems to be moving pretty slowly. Question, how about Windows event logs? I don't know what the format is for Windows event logs, but that's an interesting one that I'm going to make a note of because, you know, we should take a look at that. It's XML. So one of the things you might try is connect to it using XML, and, you know, and that should work. That should, you know, you should be able to use it, you know, because even if it's a pretty large volume of XML. All right, so there's the session list. Now, it's interesting with OData because, or with relational, because you actually have relationships, and so they surface through, and this gives you a better experience for actually bringing in, augmenting and, you know, adding related data. So, for example, first, let's actually clean this up a bit. We're going to pull code, title, the room, the date, the start time. And then some of these. So let's pull session type and maybe speakers and remove the other columns. And then what we're going to do is this is actually a relationship that, you know, that you're seeing. So I'm going to just expand that column and say, you know, pull the name in. And what we're doing now is really just a join, right? Pretty easily done. We're going to do the same. So first, let's filter out and say, I want to actually see only the foundational, and then maybe expand and say, speaker first name, speaker last name. And so that's going to do another query out to our data. And really, we're just again, building up a query that can be refreshed and rerun again and again. So you know, it's pretty impressive if you think about that. I use it all the time because you're taking one table and joining two others, navigating a relationship, bringing all of that down. As I said, I've been having some issues with this feed, so we're just going to wait a couple more, you know, maybe 10, 15 seconds. Any questions? Yep. Yeah, you should be able to. We're going to walk through some scenarios. I think that'll shine a light on those kinds of scenarios, yeah. So I'm going to stop this here because, I don't know if this is going to return in any. Oh, it did. All right. So we're going to say done, and there you have it. So, again, it's going to evaluate the full query now. So one of the things I didn't mention is, you know, you could have been connecting at that data to that data set even if it had 100 million rows, right? You're still going to be able to get that same level of interactivity because what you're seeing in Data Explorer is a preview. The focus is on shape, so we're not pulling all of that down. Only when I say done, after I'm, you know, done with shaping, is it actually in honest, you know, evaluating the query. So that's what you're seeing here is it's actually running it for real and giving you the entirety of the data. So that means you'll be able to connect to Hadoop, a massive file in Hadoop, reshape it, you know, do your filters, and say done, and then it's going to run the query. So we're going to stop this because, you know, we've seen that it brought the data back, but I'm not going to wait for it. So the next thing is actually, how many of you have seen Professor Hans Rosling's talk on TED? Some, okay. So I think it's pretty interesting. You know, it's been a few years, but some pretty amazing demos that he does. And his point was really when he did some of this, the talk was there's an amazing amount of data out there. We're not really using it. Some of it's actually quite dirty, but, you know, I've done some of the work to make it available. So here's some data sets that he's put out there and on his site. So, you know, this is thanks to him. So we're going to look at an example where we take a health indicator for a set of countries over time, so the body mass index. We're going to take GDP per capita, so an indicator of income or wealth, and we're going to take population. We're going to mash all of that up together. They're actually coming from, you know, separate files. We're going to merge all of that, and we're going to try and build a PowerView report that shows trends over time, right? So that's the goal. So the first thing we're going to do is look for BMI, right? So there's two data sets. We're going to pull the first one here. So let's say I want to pull that shortcut. And we're going to go in here and say from web. So we connect up to that endpoint. And I have a few tables. I'm going to look at the first one. That seems like the one that I want. And the first thing we're going to do is actually use first row as headers. There's a problem with this data set, though. I mean, just in terms of the structure. Does anyone know? Do you run into this sort of data that you wish you could, turn into a more consumable form? This is, I mean, what you're looking at is a report, right? It's great if you want to just scan through it and find values, but it's not meant for, you know, any kind of query or mashup with something else. In fact, when a new data set, when a new year gets added, it gets added as another column. And so one of the things you really want to do with this, this is pivoted data. You want to actually unpivot it. And this is quite a bit, of numbers here. So what we're going to do is really select the columns that we want to unpivot. Say unpivot. Right? Does anyone have the need to do that? I think that's a yes. So that, I think, is pretty cool, right, and pretty fast. So now Let's shape this and give it, call it year. Let's call that BMI, right? And then what we want to do is change this type to a number. Actually, both of these. Let's make sure they're numbers. And we're going to call this BMI. Great. So we have our first one, right? So let's go ahead and do the same thing. It's going to be a bit ceremonial, right? You won't have the same wow with unpivot, but, you know, but we'll get through it quickly. So what we're going to do is go ahead and where am I? Here. So we're going to go and look for GDP per capita and income per person. That looks like the one that, you know, that I could use. So I'm going to copy that. So copy shortcut. And we're going to go and say from web, paste that in. And by the end of this, you're going to know how to do this demo because I'm, you know, going to do this one more time for population. So so we're going to go into data, and we're going to promote that first row as headers. And we're going to have to do a bit more here. So we're going to select all of this. Again, quite a bit of data. So we're not even seeing enough preview to fill the screen because the table is so wide. And you know, we limit based on the size of data that we're pulling down. Unpivot that, and again, what we're going to do here is call that country. We're going to call this year, and we're going to call that GDP. Let's actually change the types of these two numbers. I'm going to move through this quickly. And then one thing I want to do here is the first data set that we got only had values greater than 1980, greater than or equal to. So we're going to apply that filter here and say greater than or equal to. And I didn't mention this, but we have a formula bar, right? Every step that you do has a formula. And I can go into the formula bar and say I'm going to basically tweak this and say greater than or equal to 1980, hit enter, and it reevaluates that. And so I have my shaped second data set, which we are going to call GDP. Great. So, you know, if you didn't catch that, that was actually interactive query over a CSV. You know, we did some filtering and then brought the data set down. Finally, we're going to say from web one more time, but let me find the data. And we're going to say population. Let's say total population. I know that it's this one here. So we're going to take that and copy that and say from web. Paste that in. And then we're going to merge all of this together once we, you know, do this last bit. Bear with me. Data is the one that I want, so the same deal. This one is even, it goes even older. You can imagine population is something that, you know, we've recorded for a long time. Unpivot. And let's call that year. We're going to call this country. We're going to call that population. And let's change both of these to numbers. And again, we're going to say greater than or equal to 1980. Great. We have the third one. I'm going to call that population. And we're going to say done. All right, so we have three data sets coming from different sources, right? And what we're going to do now is put them all together. So we go into merge. So let's actually say merge. And now what you're seeing here is this experience for merging tables. So I'm going to select the first one that I want, which is BMI. And I'm going to select GDP. And we're going to control click and select country and year. And now we're basically running a sample evaluation to tell you if there's matches. Looks like there are, so we, you know, say go. And now I get a new column that basically looks like a relationship. In the relational world, it looks like it's, you know, one table that's related to something else. I can expand that, and I can say I want GDP. Right? And let's call this GDP. All right, so we have one table, and now we're going to go and merge that with the population table, and then we'll be done. So we go and say merge one with population. Let's do that. Let's do that. Say done. And now we have that, and we say population, right? And let's call it population, and we're going to basically make sure that all of these are numbers. We'll call this BMI, GDP, population. Great, we have that. Say done. That's our final data set, right? I mean, we did quite a bit there. We, you know, used some filters. We had to unpivot. We had to use first row as headers, merge all of them, and it took us minutes, right? And so now what I'm going to do is click this thing that loads it into the Excel data model, and we're going to try and do the visual. So Power View, let's create a new sheet. And I'm going to delete the standard here and go into this one. And let's say we want BMI, GDP, population, and let's put scatter. Okay. And we're going to basically say I want country as well. Great. And now we're going to basically pull the year column out here into the play axis. And now we can play that, right? And this is, you know, it's showing a lot of data. One of the things that's kind of depressing about this is everything's just, you know, moving towards higher and higher BMI. You know, income's certainly increasing in some case, but let's you know, try and get this, look at this in a bit more depth. So what we can do is try and pull population in here and maybe look at just the larger countries. Right, and sort of look at the trends there. Wow, U.S. is actually kind of racing ahead. You know, it's we're not surprised by that, are we? And the thing that's interesting here is Japan is also kind of growing in wealth, but they're remaining fairly healthy. So I thought that was interesting. But that's the same kind of demo that, you know, that you'll see in Professor Rosling's talk, and, you know, that was quite, I think, easy to recreate. What do you think? Good? What's that? I believe it is recorded, yeah. Yes? Oh, the question was, is it an inner join? Actually, the default is outer join, because what we wanted to really emphasize was the notion of augmenting data, as opposed to doing a thing that by default would reduce the amount of data that you're dealing with. And so it is an outer join, and then you can filter out the nulls and get, you know, a similar experience. Now, we are working on adding more join options as well, so you'll see that. All right, so the next one is actually one of my favorites, because it's just one table. We haven't looked at web, so let's take a look at parsing web data, right? And you're going to see some nuances here. So let's, you know, again, let's see how Data Explorer can help. So we're going to copy this this URL. This is the list of all airports in the United States. And looking at this, you might immediately see one problem. But let's wait till we get into Data Explorer to see what we're dealing with. So going back into Data Explorer, switch in here, and we're going to say from web. So it's super easy to actually get data from web pages. So we're going to paste that in, say OK, and wait for Data Explorer to pull it down. Now, what it's doing is actually scraping the page, bringing that down, and we are presented with a set of tables. I can quickly click through these and, you know, and see if any of these match the one that I want. So I bring that. That looks like the one that I want, so we stick with that. Now, because the page is actually oriented for someone reading through this, it's organized by state. And actually, in the data row, there's a state row, right? And it shows up in the city column. And that, you know, in this case, doesn't work for us, right? What we really want is a city column and a state column. So let's go ahead and fix that. So what we're going to do is insert a custom column. And we're basically going to use a rule that, you know, that I came up with based on the data, which is, I noticed that, you know, these values are null. You can see in the back here, it's kind of grayed out. FAA, you know, some of these other columns are null for the state rows. So we can basically say if one of these is null, then give me the value of city Give me the value of city, else null. Okay? So that's our first step. That kind of shows you the power of the system, the language that that we're building. So what you have now is a sparse, a column that kind of has a state showing up, set of nulls, another state showing up, set of nulls, and we have a function. We have a library function. We have a pretty large library of about, I'd say, between 300 and 400 functions that lets you do all kinds of transforms. So I'm going to use one of those. So we are going to basically say, do a fill down. And I'm going to fill down the custom column. So it's called custom. That's the name of my column. And so we do that, right? And now I'm going to filter out the null because that actually is not a city row. It's just a state value, right? Finally, we're going to do a transform that basically cleans this up a bit, capitalize each word, and we're going to call that state. And we're going to move that up there. And we have a cleaned up table, right? Again, wasn't that hard to do, right? And so the thing I want to stress, if you can hit refresh. When that table gets updated, you're going to get the updated data here, right? It's a reusable query. That's the other thing I want to stress. So the language actually is quite powerful. The functions are quite powerful. We don't have, unfortunately, enough time to get into it in depth, but we're hanging out at the data visualization booth in Server and Tools, so make sure you come by and bug us, and we'll show you more. So one thing that I thought, now taking all of that and sort of putting it together, we can run through an entire end-to-end that is based on the census data. So again, nothing fabricated here. We're just using what's publicly available. So I think this might be familiar to you. So this is, let's go back and look at this. So what the Census Bureau has done is they've published this data set, and governments are being being required to publish more and more data, right, so that citizens can access and leverage some of the data that's out there in the public domain. And so this one was basically one massive data set that includes all of these attributes, right? Population estimate, it's kind of broken down by age, it's broken down by ethnicity, it's got average commute times in there by county, and to make it worse, you've got data in there at the national level, so for United States, you've got it at the state level, and you've got it at the county level, all in one table, of course, right? That's beautiful. So then you go and try and access it, and that's what you see. A wall of numbers, right? Anyone run into this sort of stuff with public data? And of course, they expect all of us to be, this is common, right? The expectation is, well, somebody is going to go ahead and use some of these things, so a data dictionary, right, to map these two files together and pull these pieces out. And of course, there's also that, right, a FIPS code that gives you, that basically lets you zero in on U.S. or state or county, right? So we're going to basically use all of that. So what we want to do is kind of just consume that and bring that in, maybe visualize a little bit. So let's start there. So we're going to bring in this gigantic data set and try and pull it in. So we're going to say from web, paste that in. And we'll pull that in. So again, this one doesn't come through as a CSV, so we're going to split this by delimiter, and we're going to say it's comma delimited. All right, and we're going to use first row as headers, kind of getting the hang of it now. There we are, all right? So you have the code, so each one of these means a particular kind of data. So what we're going to do is, the first thing we're going to do is basically unpivot. Okay, so that starts to become a bit more manageable. And now we're going to just turn this into a number. And let's call this data set. Great. So we have our first one. The next thing we're going to do is, let's see, there we are. We're going to pull the data dictionary. This one has its own challenges. So the first thing to notice is it's actually positionally delimited. So it's not based on any particular character. It's the number of characters in each column. So let's look at how we can parse that. So we're going to say from web, paste that in. And now we're going to start splitting. So split by number of characters. And at the leftmost, I've done this before, so I know that it's 9. Then we're going to split again by the number of characters at the leftmost, and this time it's 106. I think it's 106. And that gives us what we want. So we're going to remove that. We're going to promote the first one. And because this was positionally delimited, I need to actually clean up some trailing and leading spaces. So we're just going to trim. All right. And so let's call that item code. And we're going to call that description. So we have a dictionary. Great. So that's our second one. And the last one that we're going to look at is, if I can find that. So here, we're going to go back and look at that. So let's pull that in from web. You all with me? Okay. Split by delimiter. This time we're going to do a two-part split in a different way. So we're going to split at the first space, and then we're going to split at the last comma because I want to take out the state. So let's split at the last comma. And now what we're going to do is, again, we have the same problem, the same pattern that we just saw, right, where we have state and country row in the first in the city or the county column in this case. First, I'm going to basically remove United States because I don't want pre-aggregated data. So we're going to remove that, and then we're going to insert a custom column, and basically say if my last value is null, then that else null, right? Pretty easy. You've seen this before. And now we can remove that, and we can basically fill down. So we're going to do a custom, and we're going to say table.fillDown and do on custom. Great. So we have that. Let's clean that up again. So capitalize each word. And finally, oh, you know what? I shouldn't have done that. I should not have removed that column. So because I need to be able to remove the states out, so I do that at the end. So here I capitalize each word, and now I remove the null, and that gets rid of the state. Okay? So let's call it FIPS. Let's call that county. Let's call that, actually, now we can remove that. And let's call that state. We have the pieces that we need. We're going to call this FIPS. Whoops. We're going to call that FIPS and say done. And we have our last table. Now we just have to put this all together, right? The same deal. So we're going to go into Data Explorer and say merge. So we're going to merge the first one, which is data set, with the dictionary, right? And say, I want to merge on these two. And we got matches, so that's a good sign. Now we can expand that, and let's bring just the description and say done. And finally, we're going to take this one, the table called merge 2, and merge it with FIPS. Insert, whoops, Data Explorer. Merge with FIPS. Great. We're going to do it on the FIPS. We have matches, so that's good. We say OK. We expand that column and say I want county and state. And now we can clean this up. This is our final data set. So here you're seeing the outer join show up, right? Because we filtered out the country and the state, you're basically getting nulls here. So we're going to remove that. And that'll leave us with just the county level data. And so what we're going to call that is description. We are going to call that county, and we're going to call that state. And let's call that census. Finally, the value here, I'm going to move that all the way to the end. And then let's make sure that that's typed as a number so we can do some analytics over it. And that is our final data set. How much time do you think that would take you otherwise? Anyone want to guess? Yeah, I mean, you'd be lucky if you got it done in a day, right? And, you know, here we are, just 10 minutes, I think you can do that. And let's actually see how useful this data is. So we're going to go into PowerView this time. Create a PowerView sheet, a new one, and try and pull all of this down. So the table that we want, I'm going to delete that. The table that we want is, I didn't add it, did I? So we're going to go back into this and say load it to the data model. And that'll push that into the X-velocity model. And now we can go in here and basically look for census. All right, so let's add county and state and value and turn that into a map. Okay, so we start to see a lot of data showing up. I mean, it's 160,000, so we're kind of chugging along here, and I need to make some changes. So the first thing, I don't really need color, so I'm going to remove that or remove it. Okay, that makes it a little easier. And so let's actually try and drag the state in here, and maybe even let's first zero in on Louisiana, for example. And again, we're looking at all kinds of data, right? So that's why it's taking a bit of time here. But now we're looking at Louisiana. And then let's zero in on certain types of data. So let's say we want to look for median household income, right? Good stuff in here, just hard to use. And there you're seeing actually all of the values sort of broken down by county, right? So I think it's pretty sweet to be able to actually do this sort of stuff. Maybe actually also look for manufacturing data. So like I said, quite a bit of stuff in here, and I'm gonna remove that from there. So we're just looking at manufacturing. So it's kind of interesting. You can see that St. Charles Parish is popping out there, and sort of stands out. So that is just a look at how you can take all of the things we looked at, put them together into something pretty comprehensive. I think I probably used every single transform that we did in some of the little scenarios to put it to test here. We have some time, so I get to show you one more thing, which I think is also pretty neat. So we looked at web scraping, right? But one of the things that you find is data is actually kind of spread out across many, many pages sometimes, right? And, you know, you kind of have to page through it. We're trying to automate this scenario, but I thought we'd take a look at how you can use the power of the formula language to actually automate and sort of gather data from multiple sources, from multiple endpoints, pages, and sort of bring them in. So here what we're going to do is just look at how we can scrape this one particular web page. So let's go back and look at from web. And we're going to paste that in. And we're going to pull just that one page. And we're going to go through a set of transforms to shape it exactly as we want. So here, I think this so far looks okay. If I were to scroll down, I'll see that there's a set of additional extra information rows that I don't really need. So what we're going to do is basically keep the top 100 rows. And that, you know, that sort of limits it and gives us just what we want. Okay? So now what I'm going to do, you could do more shaping here. All I'm going to do is basically copy this query and generalize it. So let's copy this one. And we're going to say done. We're going to come out. And we're going to go into just formula editing. So this is just bonus. You know, most of you may not necessarily use it, but it shows what's possible. So we're going to go and write a blank query. Brave souls here. So we're going to go through this. And basically what I'm going to say is, you know, paste this in. And all I'm going to do is basically write a function that says, given a page number, right, run this, you know, generalize this as a function that I can run over many things. So, you know, what I notice is that I can pass in a page number, right? And so we're going to take that and basically say, you know, given a number that is numeric, I'm going to turn that into text, right, which is page num. And I'm going to form that URL. That's all I'm going to do. And I'm going to say done. And at this point, I should have a function. I can invoke it, say maybe give it a page number, and we're going to pull page number 5, right? So we're not done yet, because we're still just getting one page, right? So we're going to just remove that piece and just call it get page, okay? So what we've done is we've actually created a generalized query that can be passed parameters. So we're going to keep that because we need it. And then we're going to go back and say, I'm going to create a new blank query. In this case, I'm just going to create a list of numbers. Okay? And we're going to start shaping this. So we're going to say, I want to turn that into a table, say okay, and now we're going to add a custom column that basically is get page for with the value in column 1. All right? And so now what we're doing is basically adding a custom column that's invoking that function for each of those rows. We can then now, you know, using the same standard functionality, expand it and now remove that. And what you're seeing is 600 rows of data. And we say done. And that's my final data set. Again, I don't expect many of you to use that, but or that level of complexity, but it's there. And it wasn't that bad, right? We will make language editing much more powerful in the future with IntelliSense and things like that. But the core is there. So switching back to boring slides. Sorry, I didn't hear you. Any book? Yeah, so we have a language spec and a library spec that's published out there. Now, it's, you know, it's a spec. So you know, it's still pretty approachable. So it's got a catalog of all the library functions and everything in the language as well. We are writing blog articles and so on, but, you know, but we'll have books on this, you know, once it's out there. So, you know, the thing that I wanted to cover really is how easy it is. So we didn't use any prefabricated data. We started out with no data. We did search. We went out and got data from, you know, web pages. We went out and got data from files. We went and got data from OData feeds. We did unpivot some pretty cool kinds of transforms. We were able to merge all of that stuff together and show a complete end-to-end without actually doing any sort of dirty, you know, behind-the-curtain data prepping. Right, so that's kind of the theme of what we want Data Explorer to be able to allow you to do. So that's it for, you know, for what I was planning on covering. We still have about 11 minutes, so questions. We can have a Q&A. Before that, the only thing, you know, the one takeaway, if you had to walk away with just one, is go download Data Explorer. How many of you are going to download it? All right, that's what I like to see. And download GeoFlow, right? That's the other thing that fits in really nicely with this. It's an add-in. And so you can actually go and put all of these things together. At SQL Server, we are actually, you know, looking at Twitter is a good idea. We are out there, and we also have a hands-on lab. So, you know, make sure you go and check that out. And then the standard set of resources. I encourage you to go through this, and please do an evaluation on the session. It helps us make this even better next time around. So, questions? Yep. Oh, when do we expect? That's the million-dollar question. When is it going to be released? It's you know, we are very close. It's, you know, it's in the final stages of preview. We don't have a date yet, but, you know, we're not talking years. It's very, very close. Yep. Oh, man, the number of times I've heard that question. So the question was SSIS package, correct? Yeah. So you know, the common question that we hear is, boy, this is a nice way to do ETL. You know, how do we upsize this to SSIS? We are working on those scenarios. It's, you know, it's not, you know, in the immediate future, but those are things that are definitely on the roadmap. Yeah, so that, I mean, that's a, the question was, you know, in 2010 it was an, PowerPivot was an add-in. What SKU or, you know, do we expect to light this up on? The final decisions haven't been made on that, unfortunately. So, you know, I can't speak to it. I shouldn't be the one speaking to it. But, you know, there'll be news when we're closer to GA. Yep. Yeah, the question is, Excel still has a size limit. Is it still the 1 million row limit? The limit is still 1 million row. The thing that's nice about what, you know, you'll see when you use something that's bigger than a million rows is Data Explorer continues to load that stuff in the background. It spools it to disk, and if it hits a million, it'll say, sorry, you can't load it to the sheet, but then you have the option to load it to the data model, like I did a few times. Yeah. Yes. Oh, that's a good question. What happens when schema changes? So there will be cases where the mashup will be broken, right, if the schema changes in a breaking way. And so you'll have to deal with it. There's a set of things that, you know, that we're... So I mean, you'll have to watch for the kinds of changes that, you know, that could impact folks. The thing that that we're working on, though, is, you know, in the future, we will be... able to deliver on some of the other things that, you know, that sort of help you with that, so you can catch that in time and deal with it before you break someone. So like in the population example, Oh, no, in the population example, if a new year column came on, it wouldn't break. So that's an example of a non-breaking change. In many cases, it would be non-breaking. The example that I did wouldn't actually end up moving those population value, the new year, into... the you know, wouldn't end up unpivoting, but that's an issue that we know about and, you know, something that we need to address. Yeah. Yes. What about binary data from SQL Server? I think it depends on what the format is. What, you know, so binary. No, well, but even if it's binary, there's, you know, there's still some kind of inherent, you know, format. So one of the things we're doing is allowing you to read, again, in the future, to read certain kinds of binary formats and to be able to even extend that on your own. Oh, I see. If the binary column is used as a key, we should, I don't know off the top of my head, but we have folks who will be able to answer that. So catch me after and we can drill into that. Yes. Anyone? Yep. Oh, so are you? So the question was: does it work in SharePoint and Excel services? Is the scenario primarily refresh?
The scenario might be an application invoking the Excel service.
Yeah, so we don't have any application extensibility scenarios at the moment, but again, something that I expect will come in the future. I can't. PDF is a good one. So it is actually one of the data sets that we've considered, and you know I hope that we'll be able to support that in the future. So reading tables out of PDF, reading tables out of other binary formats, being able to even crack open a zip file and use that as a data source. So we're definitely thinking about some of those. All right, I think we're done. I'll still be hanging out here. So.